Let us pray. God, your Spirit murmurs in our hearts, low and quiet. Help us listen beneath the noise of this world to hear the still, small voice of your presence. Amen. A reading from 1 Kings. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of the food, 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. I have work for you to do." The word of life. Please stand in body or in spirit for the Psalter, a section of Psalm 119. The response is on page 841. The reading is the first section on page 842. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end.
Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart.
Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it.
Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to gain.
Turn my eyes from looking at vanities, and give me life in your ways. Turn away the reproach which I dread, for your ordinances are good.
Behold, I long for your precepts.
reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. If we think we create our own relationship with God, we aren't in the relationship that God gives us as a gift. For Christ puts an end to having to get it right. If we trust we are in a right relationship with God as God's gift, then we are in. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from following the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But with the righteousness that comes from trust in God's gift, you don't have to ascend into heaven to bring Christ down, or descend into the abyss to bring Christ up from the dead. What scriptures say about the word of faith that we proclaim? The word is near you, on your lips, and in your heart. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same God is God of all, and is generous to all who call on God. For everyone who calls on the name of the Holy One shall be saved. Hear the word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from John's Gospel in the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "The Spirit of truth will lead you into all truth. For the Spirit does not speak on her own, but tells what she hears and will proclaim to you what is to come. The Spirit will glorify me because she will give to you all that I have. And everything that God has is mine. That's why I say to you that the Spirit will convey to you all that I have." The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. All four of those scriptures we just heard assume that God is talking to us, but very softly. We really have to listen. Elijah in the cave experiences the earthquake and the wind and the fire, but God isn't at all those loud, dramatic things. Then there's utter silence. And it's in the silence that God speaks to Elijah. The psalm talks about the word of God, the teachings, the commandments of God, and how they are different from the teachings of the world, and how we have to meditate on those and choose them because they're easily drowned out by all the noise of the world. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, talks about, quotes the Old Testament, how the word of God is near to us, on your lips and in your heart. You don't have to climb up to heaven or dig down to the depths. It's right there. And Jesus talks about the Spirit of truth that speaks to us what the Spirit hears from God. So the Holy Spirit is a spirit of listening. The Spirit listens in us, and we don't have to hear. All we have to do is overhear the Spirit hearing God. But we have to quiet ourselves to hear that. Because the earthquake and wind and fire are plenty loud and they never stop. We live in a noisy, noisy culture. One of the things that I really miss living in Montana is seeing the stars. You never see the stars. I know you think you see stars. You walk outside and you, there's one, there's one, and there's one. No, I mean a sheet of white. It looks like the lights are on. They're so bright. When you can actually see the dark place in the middle of the Milky Way. But it has to be really, really dark in order to see those lights. It has to be really, really quiet in order to hear the voice of God. And that's hard in our culture. The earthquake, wind, and fire is just always going. The radios and the TVs and the traffic and the social media and the conversation, it just never stops. Here's the secret. Silence isn't something that you experience. It's something you practice. Because the real earthquake, wind, and fire isn't out there. It's in here. It's this voice inside my head, this multitude of voices that are always chattering, always going on and on. And because of them, I can't hear God. I'm just listening to my brain firing away. The brains are good. Thinking is really good. The problem is there is a way of knowing that's deeper than thinking. There is a way of listening that goes deeper than just to all those voices in our heads. You fly to a conference and you're standing in line registering, and the guy in front of you is just being a jerk, and he's annoying and sort of short with everybody, and already you've got this idea in your head, this guy is a jerk. Well, you're assigned to small groups and he's in your group. You learn that his name is Bruce. Now, everything that Bruce says, you're going to hear through the filter of Bruce the jerk said this. Bruce the jerk said that. Unless you listen, and maybe in this small group you hear him say some really kind, gentle things, and you get to know him, and you realize, you learn, that Bruce was just having a really bad day when he registered. His flight was delayed and everything got messed up and they lost his luggage and his wife is having trouble back home. He was just having a bad 45 minutes. But in order to hear that Bruce is a fuller person, first you have to silence that voice that says, Bruce is a jerk. We do that all the time. All of our judgments and our preconceptions, all of our ideas and our opinions, it's just an earthquake and a wind and a fire all the time. And part of what we learn to do is to listen beneath all that noise. Every morning I take a walk in the woods. I've done it for 25 years. Started with having to walk the dog every morning. And the interesting thing is that in the last two places I've walked, there is water running and it's tiny. And if you really stand there for a long time, you can hear, in New Hampshire it was the interstate, here it's Highway 2, you can hear that traffic. If you listen beneath the traffic, you can hear this little gurgle, this little tiny, it's there. But you have to silence your listening, your attention to the traffic. Just silence your listening and hear something different. Thinking is good. The problem is we don't know what to think about until we listen. You have a 3-year-old girl and you ask her, you want to go play in the park? And she says, no. Now, this is startling because she loves to play in the park. If you're a bad parent, you'll say, oh, and walk away. If you're a good parent, something in you will stop and say, wait, she loves to play in the park. You'll hear that tone in her voice. You'll hear that pause before she answered. You're hearing all this stuff that isn't just that one syllable. She answered your question. She said no. Your brain thinks, oh, the answer is no. But your heart as a parent is listening on a different level and saying, something's going on. This little girl who loves to play in parks doesn't want to. And then you remember that she's been sort of listless all day and she looks kind of flushed, and every mother in the world knows what comes next. There's this reflex. You're going to reach out and feel her forehead. Because maybe she's got a fever. Maybe she's sick. Now, you could think about whether she's got a fever all day long and you will never know till you reach out and feel her forehead. All of our thinking won't get us anywhere until we practice listening at a deeper level, open ourselves to a different way of listening. So imagine if we practiced that with one another. How often we ask a question and somebody says, no. And all we hear is the syllable. We don't hear the tone of voice. We don't hear the pause. We don't hear their story. All we hear is the voices in our heads that say, Bruce is a jerk. I don't trust this person. This person hurt me. I need to make up for that. I'm not good enough. Voices about ourselves and other people that obscure the actual truth. When Jesus says the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, it's a spirit of listening for what is in one another. Maybe God's word comes to us in each other. In those times when we have an opportunity to listen at a deeper level and really hear what people are saying, hear what they're not saying. Hear the pause, the tone of voice, the rest of their story. Think how often we have to practice that with ourselves. How often have I done something dumb? And there was a little voice in me that was saying, maybe this is not a good idea. And I didn't listen. It was right there. It was on my lips and in my heart. I just didn't listen. I was busy with my agenda, thinking about what I wanted to do, and not listening to this deeper, quieter voice that was saying, on the other hand. And the thing is, I will never hear that voice as long as I'm in a hurry. I will never listen to that voice as long as I already have an agenda. I will never hear that silence until I silence my own listening and just be quiet and let it come. So often when we're praying, we feel awkward because we don't know what to say. And God is trying to tell us not to say so much. Just be quiet. Nothing. I just want to be here with you. Shh. Easy, easy. Don't worry. Well, yeah, but God, what about... Shh. Easy. Listen to something deeper than your worries. Listen to something deeper than the answer to your question. Something so deep that it can't be said. When you feel your little 3-year-old and she does have a fever, she doesn't need for you to explain infections. She probably just wants you to hold her. Just be there. And what passes between you, you will hear in your heart in a way that never will have words, ever. We practice that when we read Scripture. We practice listening. Practice what we call Lectio Divina, which is fancy because it's Latin. It just means prayerful reading. You read really slowly and listen for what God is saying. It's pretty easy to read something to try to understand it, to say, okay, what is this about? And that's a good thing to do. And if you want to go deeper than that, you can ask, so what is this person saying who wrote this? And what's that all about? But if you really want to go deeper, you're listening for this. What is God saying to me right now in this scripture? Because here's the deal. The Bible is not the Word of God. The Word of God is what you hear when you read the Bible with faith. It's just words on a page till you read it and listen for what God is saying. And God will say to you the living Word, not the printed Word. Right? Yeah. And the living Word is what God is actually saying to you in the moment. So you might read the 23rd Psalm, and you are stressed and maybe even distressed, and you read this wonderful thing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you realize what God is saying to you is, I've got you, you're okay. This wonderful word of comfort. Well, maybe you settle into that comfort. Maybe that helps you. And then another day you read that same scripture and it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and you discern that what God is saying to you is, I'm trying to shepherd you. I'm trying to take you somewhere. Come, get up off your chair. Come on, we're going. Yes. And it's a call to action. That's a different word. Suppose you follow that call to action. Yeah. And you get involved in something. And it's challenging. And you're not sure you can do it. And then you read the psalm. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And you realize the word is, yes. You are giving me everything I need. I'm okay. You can get a word of comfort or challenge or reassurance or redirection, all from the same 9 words. Because you're reading it prayerfully, not just, what is this about? What? Maggie, translate.
Or maybe skin.
Or maybe skin. Ooh. I wonder what God is saying to me in that. It's okay to use your imagination. It's okay to listen with your heart. Because ultimately, everything we hear from God, whether it's a word of correction or a word of reassurance, whether it's a word of challenge or a word of comfort, it's really this unspoken, unspeakable word of God in which God is saying, yes. And God is saying, I'm here. I'm here. I'm listening. So we listen. Will you pray with me? God, your word is so soft, and our lives are so loud. Help us to listen with the spirit of truth. Help us to listen for what the Spirit hears in the deep silence to be with you. God, for the word of your love that is on our lips and in our hearts, we give you thanks, and we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.